This parsha, hopefully, we'll learn a life lesson from the great Moshe Rabbeinu. I want to dedicate this year L'zeicha Nishmas Gedalia ben Menachem Yehoshua. We had a wonderful family over for Shabbos from America, from the five towns, Hoshanders and their father, Dina's father, is Yurtzeit, is upon us, and I just imagine with the Midos Toivos that family have, so certainly the father must have been a wonderful and amazing person. I also want to dedicate the Shir L'Zeicha Nishma Shivan Ruvain Pausner, Stephen Pausner, my sister-in-law's brother, unfortunately, who had a untimely death at 45 years old, who struggled a lot, but showed great sense of emuna always, and not wanting anybody to be bothered by his illnesses, and unfortunately, he is no longer, and his levayah is today. The Rebbeinu Shlomo should give the family nechama, and he should be a Melech Yosher. The parsha, these parshas are so packed in information, it's so difficult to glean which lesson you want to gain. But Moshe Rabbeinu is such a important, and Rav Boaz for 19 minutes on Friday night went into Moshe's leadership qualities. And there's so much to speak about. And generally, of course, we speak about the things that we know, the Eved Hashem and the fact that he cared, Noise Ba'ol Chaveiro, that he looked and he didn't have to. He could stay in the king's palace and that's what a leader is and all those things. But I want to bring up something maybe new that you didn't hear yet. And it's quite interesting. After four debilitating makos, where the Mitzrayim are literally down on their knees, saying to Paro, hey, please, please, Paro, let the Jews go. We can't take this anymore. He finally, seemingly, gives in. And he says, okay, Vayikra Paro Moshe, Ve'arun Ve'yomer, L'chu, Zivchu Le'elo, Keichem Baretz. Okay. If it's Korbanos you want to bring to Hashem, go ahead and do that. But, the word, Baretz. Vayomer Moshe, Lo Nucha, No Lachon Lasos came. It's not right to do this. Interesting line. It's not right to do this. Ki toivat Mitzrayim nizbeach la Hashem Elokeinu, hei nizbachas toavas Mitzrayim le'eneichem, ve lo yesgeinu. They will do, the Bnei Yisrael, what will happen? Bnei Yisrael will go ahead and bring their korbanos to Hashem, and says Moshe, it's not going to be proper, because what's going to happen is, when we're slaughtering our Korbanos, Lahashem, they're also their gods. They're the gods of Egypt. And they will be so frustrated, they will want to stone us. But they will not be able to stone us because they're scared to death of us. So says Moshe Rabbeinu, we can't do this. On one hand, for the first time we see, his resistance breaks. Whatever it means, whatever that means, to harden his heart, which is not necessarily learned in the way that we know. You have the famous Bichiras Chofesh Kasher and Rav Madan. I saw a very beautiful idea. Rav Madan shares, Madan says that it's not like you think of it. It's that he had to be curtailed in his hate of the Jewish people. But it wasn't, as you said, he gives a very beautiful example of what Vayichaved Leparo. He talks about the guy who just gets his car. You guys, I'm sure, remember this from a few years ago, if you have a license. So you get your license, and your father finally lets you out the first time. And this is the first time you're in a car without somebody else in the car, and you just rev it up, baby. And you go down 38, and you're doing, 150 kilometers. And if you get pulled over, you're just going to be like, ani lo mevin maze kilometers, whatever, fine. And you get pulled over right away on 38. Ah, crazy. And you tell the guy, and he says, you just got a license 2 minutes ago. Please, 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 please. And he actually lets you go. And you keep going on 38, and obviously you've learned your lesson, but since you're 18 years old, you haven't learned your lesson. Woo! You keep going 150 kilometers, and now you get to big, and you get pulled over again. And you tell the same story, come on, he lets you off again. And as you're getting on to 157 kilometers, you get pulled over again, right? This happens again until the next time you're doing 157 kilometers, the person's not going to have Rachmanos on you because that person's name is The Wall. Right? You get into a real accident, then you're gone. That was the scene of what was going on here. Hashem realized that he had to go through this process. The Rambam, of course, speaks about tshuva, and this was part of the tshuva process. But says the psukim here, we see an unbelievable thing. His resistance breaks down. Finally, he says, okay, I'm going to let them give korbanot, but only on my terms. And Moshe says, no. Moshe says, those terms aren't good, because I'm afraid the Mitzrayim are going to get upset at us and want to stone us, but as I said to you, they will not be able to stone us. They won't be able to do that. Isn't that amazing? What does he care about the Mitzrayim? We know what the Mitzrayim have been doing to the Jewish people. They made their Vayimuruas Chayehem. We have Marar on Pesach because of what they did to us. B'chayru Levinim. Why do we care? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Seemingly, he cares about the physical pain, the psychological pain, I should say, of some of the worst people that history has seen. Not only did Paro send out the decree, they made it even worse. And as we know, they gave us avodas parach. They gave us work that afterwards they would go to the work and destroy it. Oh, you built these great pyramids? Goodbye. Now build it again. The worst work. Right? According to, of course, as we know, some of the Forshim, the men got women's work, women got men's work. They didn't know what they were doing. And then finally, when they figured it out and they finished it, they would destroy it. So it's as if we did nothing. And that's the most difficult thing. So, to this, we obviously learn an important lesson. The Chassam Sofer, it's funny because this week I was, Chaim Sofer has a beautiful, beautiful perush on the parasha. And there, I think it's called Tiferes Moshe, and there he writes that, how can this be? Why did Moshe care about the Mitzrayim? So he writes that they were humbled by the four makos. They were brought to their knees. They couldn't do jack to us. They couldn't do anything. They were so frustrated. This is not the exact thing that he said, though, so I'm sorry. He didn't say they can't do jack. But they were so frustrated that they couldn't do anything. He says it wasn't proper to upset them for no reason. Unwarranted pain. Unwarranted psychological pain. Lo nuchal lasoskin. I can't do this. It's not right to them. Obviously, Moshe's amazing media that we see here and what true leadership is, I care about what the reaction will be to my actions. If I do this, how will other people see it? It's going to cause them stress and pain. It's not worth it then. I remember, I think I've told the story before, but I remember when many years ago, I was davening in the shul in Bergenfield, Rabbi Neuberger's shul, Beth Abraham, and they rebuilt, they built a new shul, beautiful shul. And there were a lot of different donations, you know, this one, that. And somebody suggested we should have a Kiseh Shel Eliyahu, right? In the center, you know, right by the Bima, right by where you put the Torahs away, right over there with the rabbis on one side, and the other side is a beautiful Kiseh Shel Eliyahu. I thought that was a great idea. And they just parenthetically almost told Rabbi Neuberger, oh, by the way, we're doing this, we're raising money. And he says, absolutely not. I will not allow Kiseh Shel Eliyahu on my shul. Very strange. So they said, Lamdeinu Rabbeinu, why? And he said, because there's going to be a woman that's in our shul, more than one woman, who doesn't have children, is having difficulty having children. And every Shabbos, she's going to look down at the rabbi's speech, and while the rabbi's speaking, she's going to look at that Kiseh Shel Eliyahu, and it's going to cause her anguish and pain. For what reason? Memela, when there's a bris, you have to bring in the chair. I understand that. That is sitkus. Reminds me of another story. In another shul I davened in Bergenfield. Or HaTorah, Rabbi Soloski shul. So I had the great schus of being the founding president of the shul. It was actually very funny because I was on my small lessons from the lathe. I was bringing a little incident that happened to me in this potential Marisayan. And I wanted to ask a competent rav, so I asked Rabbi Soloski. So I don't know why it was very early in the morning. It was very early in the morning when I got the psak and I was writing it. And I said, oh, Rabbi Soloski's name is not so easy to write. So I just Googled it just to make sure I had the right And the first thing that came up was Rabbi Sobolowski. It says, Rabbi Daniel Hartstein said about Rabbi Sobolowski, it was the dinner that they had a few years ago that I was honored at, and that he was honored, I'm sorry, that they were honored at. I surprised him and came in for. So my name came up there. It was very funny. But Rabbi Sobolowski, so he used to give shiurim, he still gives shiurim, between Mincha Ma'ariv, he does a halach on the parsha. So the way that Rabbi Sobolowski prepares for the shiur, right, I have a little sheet of paper, he has nothing. He goes up, he takes a little sip of water, that's how he prepares, and he gives the shiur. So one day, right after the shiur was done, just Motzei Shabbos, he comes up to me and he says, I'm sure you noticed, right? And I'm like, of course I did, I have no idea what he's talking about. He's like, you saw how I changed the shiur. His normal sip was a little bit longer. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, because I was discussing adoption in halacha, that was my topic. And as I was sipping, I noticed in the corner of my eye, somebody sitting in a shul was adopted. And I was afraid that maybe this would be a very painful topic for him. So I had to figure out how to change the shiur, and it had to be something related to the parsha, so I changed it to Shonja. I had no idea what he's talking about. I didn't notice the change at all. But that's someone who cares about other people.
How would you notice the change?
What? Because he noticed that I took a little bit longer in his sipping. That's how close I am with my Rebbe. So, you know, there's a famous story about Rav Osher Weiss tells about, and this is the point. I think his name was Rav Lev Sasovo, one of the Chassidish Rebbeim. So he tells over that there are two good friends, drinking buddies, and they had a lot to drink, and he goes up to my friend and he says, do you love me? So he says, of course I love you, you're my best friend, of course I love you. He says, do you really love me? He says, yes, I really love you, you're my best friend. He says, if you really love me, tell me what's wrong. What's bothering me now? He says, well, how the heck would I know what's bothering you? He says, a true friend knows what's bothering a person. That's what he says, that's what friendship is. So these were, I don't even think they were Jews, the way Rav Leib Sassov tells the story. He says, ah, that's v'hafta reicha kamoch. I know my friend will feel, and I will add to that, I will even suggest, I want to know the repercussions of what a person will feel. And this is the question, how do we treat other people? Do we care? Our actions affect other people. The amazing Sefer Mesilas Yesharim has such great stuff in it, I know. If you haven't thought about going over it, you should. It should be one of your svarim that a person should learn. Because it's so, it relates to us. And in Perek Chaf, it's called the Mishkal HaChasidus. So he says that in explaining the Mishkal HaChasidus, in trying to explain this, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzotto says beautifully the following. B'tei da emes. What's the emes? Shezeu hamlacha hakasheh b'chasidus. Do you know what's so difficult? Because kidakot rav yesh li tzair b'davar hazeh kinisa gedola al nimsas hakamas atzuma. He said it is such an important thing for us to be. What's midas chasidus? I want to be what a true definition of a chasid should be. I want to be different. I'm going to take chumras upon myself because I want to become holy and closer to Hashem. And that's a difficult aspect. Because, he says, there's always the Yetzihara. The Yesh Le Yetzir B'davazah. The evil inclination is ready to find an opening in this domain. A person wants to be firmer, the Yetzihara is right there. It's very dangerous ground, he writes. Sakanat Atzuma. What is he saying over here? Why? Because sometimes we do things and it affects other people. We accept the Chumrah upon ourselves, he writes. And that, he doesn't realize, in reality, is affecting the Hafta Recha Kamocha. And quite honestly, it could affect even worse, even, I think, much worse, Kibbut Avaim. I tell this good Shana Aleph, Shana Bet story about, you know, the person who comes back to yeshiva, and obviously, in general, the halachas of Kibbut Avaim, as I'm sure you know, revolve around having the utmost respect for your parents. And not saying a word to them, going into the house and saying, you know, you're doing this wrong. You know, the mezuzahs are the wrong way. No. If they say, you know, is there something you want to comment about? We want the Shabbos food to be in accordance with, that's fine. That's different. But you accept upon yourself a chumrah. You want to accept a chumrah. So what do you do? So a guy comes up to me and he says like this. This story never happened. No guy would ever come up. No. And he says like this. He goes to a certain yeshiva. He never heard of the name of the yeshiva because I'm making it up anyway. Right? It's called the Heart of the Torah. That's the name of the yeshiva. And he takes the heart a little bit more strong than he does the Torah. And he says the following. He says, I want to, he has a number of rabbeim, one specifically, that may walk around and show people the yeshiva. And he wants to wear a gartel. He got really into this chassidus thing, new chassidus as they call it. And it happens to be that his father is really excited about his growth, but his father happens to be a very staunch follower of the Gra. In fact, they are direct descendants of the Gra. The Gra did not wear a gartel. And he comes home the first day in his little yeshiva shul, and he's committed to davening and tefillah. And all of a sudden, you know, before he puts his tefillin on, he takes out this very strange looking, of course it's white, because, you know, you got to go the whole way, and he puts on this gartel. And his father's mouth is open wide. And the rabbi of the shul is called Kilas Agra, you know. And the father's flipping out. The rabbi's like, oh my God, we can't even count for a minion now. What's going on? I'm kidding. Right? He doesn't know what to do. And the father comes and the father says, my son, I'm so excited that you want to get stronger in your... Let's try to figure out something together. Because it's a little bit embarrassing for me, just because this is not our tradition. So he actually comes up with a suggestion and he says, you know, maybe put it on before you come into shul and wear it under your big, you know, under your jacket, because he wears a jacket now that doesn't match with his, you know, pants and stuff. Fine. And he says, no. My Rebbe said, you have to wear it outside for everybody to see. Ki shem Hashem nikra alecha. I know he's talking about tefillin. So, he says, listen, father, there's a halacha that says, Ishimo ve'aviv tiro ve'es sha'apsosai tishmora. And he says, I don't know what to do. I don't have to follow your ways, my dear father. And the father says, I'm not sure this applies. And they go to a rabbi. The rabbi explains, by minhagim, it may not be the same thing. But what did the guy do over here? Forget about the halacha. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, he doesn't understand. By affecting other people, says the Mesilas Yesharim, you're actually doing worse. Yes, it's true. The Ramah paskins in the first halacha of all halachas. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi summit. Right? The first Ramah. Aleph, Aleph. He says, don't be scared. You should never be scared doing mitzvahs. I actually just got a shiloh by a gentleman who comes to the shir sometimes. I think now he claims he's in another shir. He said he's flying Turkish Air on the way home. He says he just wants to make sure. I understand he's not allowed to wear tefillin on the flight because it's Turkish Air. So, and he says, I'm going to be in Leib L'Chayal, so I'm an army guy. So, you know, I don't think it's mutter. I don't think it was so. I said, you shouldn't be embarrassed putting tefillin on. I don't think there's any. I didn't think personally there was a risk. I said, I bet you there'll be other people on the flight that are wearing tefillin because everybody's connecting to the flight from Turkish Air. I said, I don't think it's a sakana. But okay. I said, you know, you could ask people that travel this route what it would be. But says the Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramah says, as I said, the Ramah says, you shouldn't be scared of doing mitzvahs. But says the Mesilas Yesharim, however, if it's a chumra, it's more complicated. Because you might be violating an issur d'oraisa of doing a minhag of v'ahavta reicha kamocha. Or an issur of kavod avicha v'yasimecha. And that's what he ends off in his Mishkul Chassidus, says the Mesilas Yesharim. You have to be careful what a person is, how a person is reacting to this, what his ma'asav are doing, if it's being done for the right reason and not affecting other people. And that's the important message over here. Rav Pam, who relates this idea, takes this midah of Moshe Rabbeinu and says it's not about just us doing things, it's what the effect will be. How will other people react to it? He tells the story of his grandfather, his maternal grandfather, Harav Shimon David Anlik. He was the Rud of Shedlitz, a town in Poland. And it was an interesting town because it was split, half Hasidus, half Litvisha, what they used to call Misnagdim. They were against the Hasidim. And the Rav before him of the town used to do something pretty cool to some of you. He would have his wife make a huge matzah ball, the biggest matzah ball she could make, and he would put it in his window to show how against he was the inyun of gebruchs, the Hasidish chumrah. And Rav Pam's grandfather thought that this was not a good minhag. And he would never, ever do that. He never thought that that was appropriate. And he wouldn't eat gebruchs that anybody would see. He would do it privately. And in fact, one of his congregants came up to him who followed the gebruchs, who was a chassid. You know what happened? He came to him. He said, Rebbe, I have a horrible thing. Please open this box. And the box was hermetically sealed. He opens the box and he sees in it a piece of wet matzah. And he says, Rebbe, this is the matzah. He says, the what? What are you talking about? This matzah, by mistake, it fell into water and it hit my kelim. So I don't have to machshu the kelim. I have to make him kosher again. And that's a joke. When it comes to gebruchs, there's no... But he didn't say, laugh in his face, see, this is the problem with you, except chumras, you think this is the halacha. It's not the halacha, there's no heksha kelim, are you stupid, right? No! He said to him, no. You ask a good question, but the halacha is, because it's only a minhag, he made him feel good. We have this sometimes when we ask questions like that. They tell a story about the Chafetz Chaim. There's a sefer called Dugmat Misimchas Avi, written by Rav Ari Leib, the son of the Chafetz Chaim. And he said, in World War I, my father found himself in a town on Sukkot. And Nebuch, in those days, we can't imagine this, but there was no lulav and esrogim. So all they had was one lulav and esrog that was not dry enough to be considered to be pasul. I'm not sure if they made a brach on it. And an esrog, can imagine a year-old esrog. And there was one, so everybody was running to make the bracha. And when it came to Hallel, even though there were other great rabbeim there, they went up to the Chafetz Chaim, they said, you have the cover, we're going to give you, mechabed you, to walk around and do the na'anuim with it. The Chafetz Chaim said, nothing doing. He said, I bet you there are other rabbeim here who think that they're more important than I. Give it to somebody else. It's just a minhag. I'm afraid the reaction will be so negative, I'd rather somebody else do it. This commentary on the Shulchan Aruch called the Beis Lechem Yehuda in Yoredeah, and there he says that based on the Sefer Chassidim, you have a student who wants to accept upon himself precious mi'averus. So he does a tanis. Once a week he says, I'm gonna fast. Why? He says, I'm doing it. It's a tanis yachid, because I want spiritual elevation, I want to be a mechaper avoinus. And it bothers his parents no end, probably the mom. The mom's like, you can't do this, this is crazy, right? So he says, even though you're doing it and you're careful and you're doing L'shem Shamayim, he says, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do it. It's for the right reasons. I'm not saying you're not doing it for the right reasons. We have to consider other people's feelings. If I do this, how will other people react? Moshe Rabbeinu said he wasn't just a manig she knew kula Torah and his last name was Rabbeinu, but we learn from him midos like this. Even the Goyim, see, that was what was so amazing. You know, both of my kids are learning Sefer Shmos. So my son Avishai just had a test on this. And every kid knows, oh, which of the makos that Moshe didn't do. And everybody, oh, he can do something. He can do it. Why? Because the water said, so what? And then you said, wait, and then you tell your child, wait, stop a minute. The water, what's that karsat of the water? Who cares about, it's water! Who cares about water? The dust, the kina, what? What's the answer? If I'm sensitive even to inanimate objects, right? We have a halacha that says the kelev tashlichu noisai. Because the dogs didn't bark when we left Mitzrayim, they get first choice for our non-kosher meat. It's an amazing inyan. That's an amazing inyan. We have to set our midos up so that we care about these things. That we're a nation that cares about each other. And when we do something, we think about the ramifications. If I do it in this way, oh, how will other people? If I accept the schumer by myself, am I going to look like everybody else? Going to be like, oh, look. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. Yes, we have those great midos of Eved Hashem. We have other great midos of Moshe Rabbeinu. But there are the hidden midos, so it might even be ones that come out to be even more important, especially in our generation, of caring about our actions and how they affect other people. And if we care, that is the ultimate sign of Haftarecha Kamocha. In Moshe's case, even by the Goyim, the same Goyim that were killing us, they hated us. The biggest form of anti-Semitism ever. Still, he says, no, I don't want to upset them so that they'll want to kill us, but they can't kill us because they're scared of us. When it comes to Jews, with that, the Rabbanu Shalom will certainly look upon us and bring Mashiach because he'll know that we care about what other people think. And we should be zeichah to see the Bayis Shlishi v'meheir v'yameinu. Amen v'yameinu.